If you'd like to take your Bibles, hopefully there are some church Bibles in front of you. And if you'd like to turn to Revelation chapter 1, and you can find that on page 1233 in the church Bibles. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to be starting at verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Thank you, Jane. Please keep that passage open in front of you for the next few minutes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the hope of the nations, and thank you that you're our hope as well. And we thank you for all the ways in which you've blessed us today. Thank you for your presence here by your Spirit. Thank you for touching our hearts, and thank you for giving us new motivation to share the good news about Jesus with children's groups and young people's groups. Please speak to us now in these last few minutes, and we pray it for the glory of Jesus. Amen. It's been a great honor for me to be here today. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from just conversations with people. I also learned a lot in the seminar I was in this morning. I didn't go to the first workshop because I ended up in a conversation with somebody, and I didn't learn much from the second workshop because it was led by some idiot talking about drama, so that was fine. That was me, just in case some of you... I just sensed some people are intellectually out of their depth here, so I thought I'd better explain it. Let's look briefly at this passage. It will be very brief. Here is John on the island of Patmos, and there are three things I want to point us to in this passage. First of all, in verses 12 to 16, Revelation. Revelation, Jesus revealing himself again to John. We're not going to look at these verses, but 12 to 16, it's a wonderful, wonderful list, a wonderful description of the risen Lord and the exalted King. And there's images there that I don't understand, but there's lots there about Jesus' power and about Jesus' holiness. And John is being reminded that he's in the presence of a Jesus who is powerful and holy, he is the Lord. And we need that. The most important thing in our ministry, in the work we do, is that we are continually reminded of who Jesus is. So I want to encourage me and you, let's spend time, let's ask the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God in our lives so that we're getting to know Jesus better and better. Revelation, we need that. And secondly, in verses 17 and 18, there's encouragement. I love this. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He's so overwhelmed by what he sees, is John, that he just collapses. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid." Now, here's the encouragement. John is feeling overwhelmed. Maybe he's going to feel particularly overwhelmed when he discovers what Jesus is asking him to do. And Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid." And if Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," then we really don't need to be afraid. You know, there are some people who say, "Don't be afraid," and, you know, some big rock is about to hit you, and they say, "Don't be afraid," and you try not to be afraid, and then the big rock hits you. But when Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," you really don't need to be afraid. And I love this. Jesus doesn't just say, "Don't be afraid." He also reminds John who he is. So he says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." I wonder how you feel at the end of a day like this. I know what I'm like when I get together with other Christians who are doing similar work to I'm doing. I compare myself with them, and it's always astonishing. They are all more sorted than I am. People are all nodding. You agree with me that they're all sorted, more sorted. They're all more sorted than I am, and they're more gifted than I am, and they should absolutely be doing what they're doing. But I wonder if I should be doing it at all. And maybe some of us are thinking that. You've been in a seminar or a workshop, and the person next to you was asking such intelligent questions, and you thought, "Wow, this person is really on the ball. I haven't got anything helpful to say at all." It's very easy that we compare ourselves with other people and we think, "I'm hopeless." Well, Jesus is here, and he's saying, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We don't need to be afraid. Jesus is not calling me to be somebody else. He's calling me to be me. So don't be afraid. And keep your finger in Revelation 1 and turn back quickly, please, to Philippians 2. Don't worry, I'm not going to repeat this morning's talk. But Philippians 2 on page 1179 in the Church Bibles. Just need to say something about this whole passage. Because there's one verse I didn't mention at all this morning, and it's verse 5. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 2, verse 5. And then Paul talks about Jesus and his four steps down. And then he talks about Jesus and his four steps up. And he tells us, and we looked at it at the end this morning, he tells us why God made the decision to exalt his Son. I said that I think one of the most important words in the whole passage is the first word in verse 9, "therefore." Because Jesus lived like that, God the Father exalted his Son. Now that's all in the context of verse 5, how we should be living. I'll tell you what Paul is saying. He's not just teaching us about who Jesus is and about the Jesus lifestyle. He's saying if you want to experience blessing, then you live the Jesus lifestyle. You take steps down. You give up your rights. You serve others. And God will bless you. It's what the passage is really about. So let's make a new commitment today to be servants. To serve the young people, the children in our groups, to serve others in our churches, to serve other people. Because if we decide not to stand on our rights, but to serve, then God will bless us more and more. Back to Revelation 1, please. One other thing I just want to say that we could is such an encouragement. In the danger of a day like today, I mean, I found it great because I've learned all sorts of things. But the danger is we think it's all about how to do things. And we forget that the most important thing is who we are and what our example is. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. And when I was 10, I was invited to a group called Crusaders, which is now called Urban Saints. And it was, in those days, an all-boys Bible class. There were 100 of us there every Sunday afternoon. And I didn't know much about the gospel at all, but I went. And there were two things that kept me there for years and years and years. One of the things was the way the Bible was taught. It was taught in such a relevant, exciting way. But the other thing was the example of the leaders. I was just so impressed with these guys. I don't think I'd have voiced it like that, but I remember thinking I would like to be like them. In other words, I didn't just hear the gospel. I saw the gospel in their lives, in the way they related to me and to the rest of us, and in the way in which they related to God. I must just tell you one story about one of the leaders who was called Fred. And I thought he was about 120, but he was probably late 50s, so young. And Fred, we used to laugh at Fred because Fred used to sing so loudly. And we thought this was very funny. And there was one particular song that Fred, that we all sang, where he would sing particularly loudly, and there was one line in this song that which he sang even more loudly, and we thought this was very funny. And I'm going to tell you the song. It's an old-fashioned song. You may not know it. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, who can compare with thee? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, fairer than all art thou to me. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, oh, how my soul loves thee. You're laughing too. Fairer than all the fairest, Jesus art. And every time we sang that, we laughed because Fred sang it so loudly. And that line, oh, how my soul loves thee, we laughed especially when he sang that. But every time we sang it, I remember thinking, but he does. It's true. He loves Jesus. I wasn't a Christian yet, but I remember thinking, Fred loves Jesus. And I found that very attractive. So I want to say to you, well, I want us to hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. Then I want us to hear what Paul is saying in Philippians 2, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul and saying, live the Jesus lifestyle, be a servant, and God will bless you. But I also want to encourage you to love Jesus. And your young people and your children will be looking at you, and they'll be thinking, I want to be like that. she does love Jesus. He does love Jesus. You can show it in different ways by singing, other than singing too loud. That was encouragement. The third one is in verses 19 and 20, and it's commissioning. Here is Jesus commissioning John, and the commission here is, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. So he's commissioning him to write the book of Revelation. God is not commissioning you to write a new book for the Bible. I'm confident of that. But he's commissioning you, he's called you to be involved in a children's work, a young people's work. He's commissioning you. And the one who is commissioning you is the risen Lord and the exalted King, who's in the highest place with the greatest name. The one who is sending you again into this work is the one who died on the cross for the sins of the world, for your sins and for the sins of all the children and young people in your group. And he's saying to you, don't be afraid. I'm sending you again into this work. Do it for me. Do it for the glory of my Father. Don't be afraid. He's commissioning you. And he's not asking you to be like anybody else. He wants you to be you. And he will use you to point children and young people to know Jesus. My prayer, and I think the prayer of all of us here, is that what we're doing will not just be about Jesus then, it'll be about Jesus now. It'll be about children and young people meeting Jesus now, and knowing Jesus now, and following Jesus now, and worshiping Jesus now. And the extraordinary thing is, he is willing to use us as one of the people who will help make that happen. Is that astonishing, or is that astonishing? You are right. It's astonishing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of youth work and children's work. We thank you that it's no accident that we are involved in the groups that we are involved in. We pray that we may get to know you better and better. We pray that we may live lives of worship. We pray that we will not be afraid when we think of the task before us. We pray that you would help us to allow your Spirit to give us a greater love for you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that when the children and the young people that we are committed to look at us as individual leaders and as a group of leaders, we pray that they will not only hear the gospel, but they will see it too. So we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We don't go out alone. We go out with you, called by you and sent by you, and with your Spirit living inside us and equipping us. We thank you together in your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen.